Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Childcare Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. On the phone is Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
Good, but if you're a frequent listener, I'm still in the lobby of the Hilton Airport. It's just been a really, really rough week.
Hey, last episode...
I have changed my jammies, though. At least I'm in different jammies.
You changed your jammies right there in the lobby of the airport?
Well, you know, we're podcasting. I got to change of clothes. I got my wigs. I got to do what you got to do. I looked for Bailey's, but nobody wanted to sell me Bailey's at 9 o'clock in the morning, which I think is stupid.
Well, yeah, you should be able to make that happen in Chicago. Hey,
that's breakfast food.
Yeah, exactly. We last episode was called Roll with It. Roll. Yeah, I think that's what I called it. Yeah, Roll with It. I got a Roll with It story. Alert. Emotions ahead.
I know, because I know what we're talking about, and you kind of came out the gate. Like, with it's going to be a little not inconsistent. It's going to be different. So just go.
Okay, so
you're coming out like woohoo.
Oh yeah, well that's the way you got to start the show.
You're going to change gears on everybody. Well,
yeah, we'll see. Here's the deal. We're going to talk about death today. Oh geez, I wonder if I can do this without bawling. Here's the deal. Last Wednesday, I had to have my beloved chocolate lab, Hershey, put down, euthanized.
Pod dog.
Man, I love that puppy. We adopted her. You know, we just had her for just barely 2 years, and we adopted her. She was old at the time. Ended up being a little bit older than they led us to believe, and her hips were not in good shape when we got her, and they didn't get better. And this last couple months, she's been her rear legs have just been given out when she'd walk sometimes, and the cold has made it worse, and it's got to the point where she couldn't get into the truck for a long time. I'd have to lift her front legs in, and then she'd stabilize herself and then lift her big dog butt up into the back of the Suburban when she went places, and it got to the point where I'd have to lift the whole 100-pound dog up into the back of the truck. And and she got to the point where she did. I mean, she'd see me grab the keys and she'd be ready to go. And it got to the point where she'd just look at me with that, oh man, I'd like to join you, but yeah, it's such a pain. And she'd stop even wanting to come with me. She wouldn't. She'd just lay there. She wouldn't even get up, even knowing that I'd lift her in. And you know, we made the decision. You know, sometime we're gonna have to do this soon, and it can't do it at Christmas time because that would be a memory every Christmas. And
right.
And then beginning of January is our anniversary, and end of January is my birthday, and so that kind of and then February we're back on the road again, and so mid January became the time to do it, and so we did it, and it was a. It was a hard thing to do, but we did it. She traveled 2 years. She traveled over 100,000 miles with us to gigs. Swam in.
So some listeners some listeners knew.
Oh yeah, there's listeners that that hung out with her. She rode the ferry across Puget Sound. She hung out in New Orleans, and they brought her water when we were listening to jazz outside in New Orleans at the restaurant. She hung out in Manhattan. She barked at buffalo in Yellowstone. Chased sticks on Prince Edward Island in Florida, and for the last good last 2 years for an old dog.
Yeah.
But sad for me, death is kind of one of those things. And death, we got to tie this to early learning. Grandbaby was going through the whole experience with us, and we were mm-hmm. very, very mindful and very honest with her with the situation, and trying to doing our best to use language that she would understand. Hershey's getting old, and her legs aren't working anymore, and it hurts her, and we're gonna take her to the dog doctor, and they're going to give her a shot and let her go to, that'll make her go to sleep. And then they're going to give her a shot that's going to stop her heart beating. And then she won't be alive anymore because she's having such a hard time walking, and she's just going to get sicker and sicker. And this is the kind thing to do for her. And it's going to be a very sad thing, but it's what we're going to have to do. And we'd have those conversations. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, can I come with?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah.
Which, yeah.
And she said, Papa, I'm not going to cry, but I will pat your back and say, there, it's okay when you cry. I said, awesome. I'm going to,
so smart.
Yeah. I said, awesome. I'm going to need that. And she came with, and you got to do a little bit, had to do a little bit of paperwork, and she says to the vet, can I sign that too? And the doctor, well, of course, and flips over the form, and I think because she's so tiny, I think the vet expected she was just going to scribble, but it took her a minute or two to get her name written, and the W would look like kind of the Rocky Mountains because she has a hard time stopping on the W, and so she filled out the paperwork, and then,
you know what? Pause for a second.
Okay.
Kudos to that vet.
Yeah.
Kudos to that vet.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I know some of them do the thing where you can be in the room and stuff. They don't, because they said their experience is that with the emotionally stewing people, it kind of makes the pet more jumpy and upset, and
they can tell something.
Yeah, and so it makes it hard. It makes it a more stressful experience for the pet, and so their thing is, say your goodbyes here, and it's kind of, and then for the pet, it's kind of like going to the groomers or something. They go off into the other room, and that makes sense. And I wouldn't have wanted to be in the room anyway, because that's just it's kind of like cutting the umbilical cord when the baby's born. I don't have training for that. Don't just hand me. Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a good thing, and they were really great. We got they gave Rowan a kitty cat sticker and a sucker, and said, by the time we were six blocks away, they would probably be done, because they don't like to, again, it's anxiety for the pet when they're in this strange place waiting around, so they take care of it pretty quickly, and we're driving off, and Rowan says, we should go to Starbucks and talk about our feelings.
Oh my God.
I said, okay, that sounds good, and so we do that, and we're sitting there at the table, and we're talking, and we're being sad together, and we go home, and it was a hard thing, but it was a good thing. I think we try to shelter kids from this kind of stuff more than maybe we need to, huh?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm thinking of Dan Hodgins right now, big time, and how we lie to kids in a mythical effort to, protect them from sad or whatever it is. And how many dogs growing up that I was told went to camp, and you're like, what? They went to camp. And like, what does that mean? What
camp?
The hell? But look at the associations. Okay. And so this is where my brain goes is, well, first of all, you better not tell Rowan when you get older that your hips hurt because she's got such And I'm sorry, I have a horrible brain. That's the first thing I said. I start to think about those, like how you said, the associations, right? So, you know, that'll be something at some point you're going to want to have to readdress, because otherwise, you know, you start to associate that if your hips get bad, you know, and that's one of those things that would come up in a side conversation, you know, like 5 or 6 years from now, you know, some family member, you announce they fall down and break their hips and their hips hurt. And, you know, now you got 3 kids, you're thinking, oh my God, it's time to take her to the doctor and, you know, give her a shot to make her go to sleep and then another shot to make her heart stop, you know? And I think adults, we forget that, you know, and so then this comment comes out 3-4 years later and it feels out of context and like, what? But yet that was their only experience with that kind of an experience. So that still is in their brain. So to, you know, to circle back to the camp thing, these kids in the neighborhood that were told that their dog went to camp and then their dog never came back again. Don't tell me that, you know, you say, hey, it's time to go to camp, you know, and then the kids are like, oh, ah! I don't know. I'm not going to camp. You know, and I think then adults forget that they've put this association together and then they react overly to the kids freaking out when really the child's only association with that. And the same with haircut, not to get off the death topic, but you know, all up until that kid's first haircut, it's, you know, careful, that'll cut you. Careful, that'll cut you. Watch out for the scissors. Careful, they'll hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, come on, let's go get your haircut. Because like, you know, freak out. You've totally set it up that cut and scissors are a painful, bad, bloody mess. And now we're going to go cut your hair. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, this is a no-brainer. But like, why can't we say what it is? And you handled it magnificently. For what it's worth, a little pat on the back there.
Well,
you explained it in the proper language, in language that would be appropriate for a child of that age. But you didn't use fake words or you know, words to try and cover it up and make it better, you know, better, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And part of that is that when my hips go bad, when I get to the point in my life where I'm not enjoying life anymore and can't do the things I love doing, the point Hershey was at, I want Rowan as my granddaughter, who will hopefully this isn't going to happen when she's 6. Hopefully this is going to happen when she's 60. I want her to be part of the team making the decision. What are we going to do with Papa? You know, so if I need to have that shot to put me to sleep, I want her to be the one that's saying, yeah, that's what he would want. And right. The other thing is I remember being 5 years old, and I think I talked about this in an episode a long time ago. I was 5 years old, because I think we did a death episode. 5 years old, my grandfather dies. My parents have been spending a lot of time up at the hospital, and he had a heart attack. And they come home one night and tell me that grandpa's not hurting anymore. They aren't going to have to be going up to the hospital all the time because grandpa's not hurting anymore. That's what I hear. And then 2 days later, 3 days later, I'm at a funeral and he's in a box and he's cold and very kind of like your haircut story, very, very confusing for a 5 year old because at that age, we're very concrete and have a hard time dealing with all the euphemisms that we.
So
kinda,
I'm thinking he's fine, right?
Yeah.
He's not sick anymore. So
yeah.
Therefore, he must be better. And now he's not here, and he's in a box. Whoa, 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 whoa. But see, that's that. In an effort to try and protect the child, what we think they don't understand, we actually add. And it could be very valid that they could be young enough to where they, quote unquote, don't understand the concept of, you know, the abstractness of what death actually is. But they are old enough to be told in, you know, in language, if we think it through and not be reactive to it, of something that is at least going to put it into a framework that they understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And regardless of how old they are.
Sure. And you mentioned Dan Hodgins earlier. Actually, Dan and Amy Ahola have a new podcast I'm producing called Shaken Bones. And in one of their first 3 episodes, they did an episode on death. And we recorded that the Sunday before I had Hershey put down.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and I let them. When I saw that on their topic list, I let them know what I was going through. And you got to. I urge everybody to listen to this to go listen to that episode because Dan and Amy get into some great stuff there. But one of the things they get into is that, you know, when a pet dies or a grandma or grandpa dies or whatever, a lot of times kids will say something like, "Am I going to die?" And mm-hmm. we need to be very mindful and honest about the way we respond to that too. And because you can't, well, no, you're not going to die because that's a lie. They are going to die.
Lying. Yeah.
And so I love,
but not right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly the way Dan said he explains it is, you know, he'll put your hand on your chest and you feel that's your heart beating. And that means you're alive now. And so you're going to die someday, probably. Well, you're going to die someday, but not right now. That not right now is
exactly.
Thing. Yeah. And so that as a follow up to this episode, if this is a topic that you're dealing with, I really urge you to check out that episode that Dan and Amy did. There's some good stuff in there. And so how did you handle it in all your caregiver years when pets died or grandmas died or grandpas died or whatever with
kids?
Do
you know, Jeff, this is interesting, and I'm not sure if I brought this up the last time we talked about this or not. I have not had that happen authentically, meaning that nobody showed up to school with that, you know, oh, this happened over the weekend or this happened last night. And I'm sitting here racking my brain right now. And, you know, even it hasn't. And it hadn't happened for me in my own life. I mean, the only people around me that have died since we recorded, probably my other grandpa. So my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side died in 1995, they died 6 months to the day from each other. And then my grandpa, my mom's dad, died about 2 years ago. And other than that, you know, I haven't had a lot of that experience, and nor have the kids that I've interacted with not. So I'm not sure what's up with that. I mean, my dog died when I was on the road. That was kind of sucky. And I got a text message, you know, that was pretty rough for me.
Yeah.
And like you, though, you know, and I don't know if this is cruel or crass or a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, I cried for a couple minutes and then I realized that I'm going to miss him, but there's nothing I can do about it, right? So have your emotion. And I went out to dinner. Because I was on the road, I was solo doing a gig. I think I was in Florida. And I got the text right as everybody at the end of the day was coming back to play. So, you know, I checked my phone really quick to start taking pictures. And all I saw before I turned the camera on was this text saying, you know, that Otis had died. And so to like the 15 people in earshot, I had this like burst of, you know, like, oh my God, my dog is dead. And like five tears flew out of my face. And then it was like, okay, game mode, you know, back into game mode. And, you know, then I went out to dinner and I had a couple shots for my dog and, you know, then came home and, you know, moved on, you know, not because you don't have the affection, but, you know, there's nothing I could do about it. And actually it was okay. And I missed things. Like I missed his, because Otis was getting old too, and he was having some liver problems and his hips started to kind of go. And so I think in some sense it was a blessing, you know, and a curse at the same time. I would miss like his jingle bells of his, you know, his collar and hearing his toes tap dance when I would come back in, that kind of stuff. And it, you know, actually when I really actually lost it and it like all finally came out about 6 months after, the vet sent me a card. They had made and unbeknownst to me, I did not know that any of this had happened. They cut a little bit of his tail off of the fur, the hair off his tail, and they made a paw print and they like mailed that to me. And I opened it up and I was like, why is the vet sending us something, you know? And I opened it up and it's this, and I like, you know, was on the floor in the fetal position for about 10 minutes. And that's like all of the memory, the culmination. I mean, we got him when he was like 6 weeks old.
Well, yeah, you guys had a long time together.
He grew up with all the kids. I mean, yeah, we had him for 13, 14 years. I mean, he was an old dog and he had lived a fun, awesome life. And I think I took solace, kind of like you too, right? I mean, shit, Hershey did more in those last 2 years than a lot of people that I know.
That dog
lived a good life. And Otis did too. And it was time to move on. And, you know, I think maybe I think perhaps the, and I can't speak for other people, but perhaps the situation surrounding a death, whether it's a pet or a person, can sometimes lead to us staying in that sad spot a little longer. You know, like if your dog got hit by a car or something, like, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
something like that. I mean, this was a nice, like, you know, some grandmas, they die and they've lived 90 years and they had a kick-ass life. And yeah, you're going to miss them. And this is kind of the next phase in our development. But, you know, somebody, you know, gets shot at a bank robbery, you know, that's, it's different.
Yeah, if grandma gets shot robbing a bank.
I know, right? But then that's a whole different, like, well, she kind of had it coming. We knew that was going to happen. But that's how we knew she wanted to go. Living large. But then, okay, so I overheard some of you, if you listened last week, I had to wait 3 hours to buy scalp tickets for my brother's film at Sundance. And the women behind me were talking, and I totally was kibitzing on, at one point, their phone call. Apparently, like the night before, one of their cousins had died in a car accident. And through the course of the conversation, and it was not funny. It was funny in a sad, tragic way, but she actually was talking to whoever she was on the phone with. And she's like, yeah, I know it's sad. And I know everybody's upset. She goes, but I've already jumped through 3 of these stages of grieving. She goes, cause she knew she shouldn't get in that car last night. So I'm already at anger. She's like, I've jumped through sad. I've jumped through this. I'm already at being pissed off at her because she knew she should not be getting in that car. And it was, again, that situational component, that variable. Again, something we have absolutely no control over.
Yeah.
So I know, sorry, I took like 15 minutes to answer your question, but, you know, it's not been something that I've had. And to be honest, and as a little shout out to Dan, I mean, I had felt so kind of prepared through conversations between trainings and just sidebar conversation with Dan and Bev and even Tom Hunter before he died of how to be okay when this stuff comes up. And it was one of the, not to be morbid, but it was like, I felt so kind of prepared to be able to handle that situation appropriately. And just, I never really had the opportunity
Well, maybe
the awesomeness that they trained me on.
When you get here, yeah, and Rowan brings it up, then you can practice. You can.
Then I can.
When she's practicing,
I can show her my mad skills.
Yeah, she can show her your death moves while she's showing you her fighting moves.
We shouldn't be laughing at that, but I get what you're saying.
Well, no, here's the thing. You mentioned that you know, after Otis, you missed the sound of the tags jingling and everything. Last week when I was going through all this, you were sending me text message pat on the backs every once in a while, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I got to the point where what I really wished, I told you this too, is that when you get to town, I really do need you to poop in the yard a couple times so I can pick it up in a little plastic bag, because that's been part of my routine for so long. You know, I take her out in the morning and that's just, it's that part of the daily routine is gone. And well, it's not something I enjoyed. It was a habit. And then when your habits get stripped away like that, it's kind of, you got to learn new habits,
well,
new routines.
You have to learn new habits, but then it's also, for a while, it's a constant reminder of what you're now not doing, right?
Yeah.
I'm not able to do this, and it's because of this reason. And that can, you know, kind of be that sad poke. So you've had some daily dose of emotion. How's that been feeling?
Oh, my emotions are for you darn humans with your emotions. No, actually, you know what? I don't know if I can say this right. I actually enjoyed having to put my dog down. Not that it was pleasurable, but that for all the good things in life to feel like the good things, you got to feel some shitty things once in a while. And
that's very true, Jeff.
And so I did what I could to feel the emotions and just be there in those uncomfortable moments, because that makes everything else seem more bright and shiny. And you can't, mm-hmm, you got to have, it's sweet and sour. It's yin and yang. You got to have both. And,
right.
And really,
you honestly, and it's one of those things that we say all the time, everybody says it, that you can't have one without the other, or you don't really appreciate the one without the other. That can be very, very difficult to remember when you're on the other side, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got a nice thing going on and you're telling people that and giving support, and then you find yourself on the other side. It can be really hard to remember, you know, that you were on kind of a nice run there for a while. But
yeah, and I mean,
the universe reminds you.
Yeah, and you know, if she would have been hit by a car, I don't know if I would have been able to do that, but because we've been preparing for this for a couple months now, I was able to go into it kind of mindfully and have my head kind of together. Because
you did the stages of grief. I mean, Kubler-Ross, for those of you who are maybe are Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, kind of outlined the stages of grieving, and not necessarily in response to death. I think it can be grieving in any situation. And you know, it's like any kind of developmental trajectory. You know, you kind of go through those stages, and occasionally you get smacked back to one of them, and you kind of got to get up and work through them again. But anytime there, I think there's that preparation of any component when you know that there's going to be a loss at the other end, that you're able to start doing some of that work, whether you realize it or not. You know, meaning that you didn't wake up one morning and go, oh my God, we have to put the dog down today. You know, it was kind of, this is something I'm going to need to start, in some sense, preparing myself for. So your brain and your heart and everything starts working on that.
Yeah.
To protect
and,
you.
And that's, there's so many things in life that we, they're scary and they're uncomfortable, so we don't think about them. And then they're scary, they're uncomfortable and inevitable, and we don't think about them. And then they happen and we act surprised. Let's take a turn for the morbid now. I'm perfectly ready for my own death right now. I'm at peace with the life I've lived and know in with my belief system or lack thereof, what's coming after death. And, you know, I get hit by a bus after we record this today. Hopefully I get the episode uploaded that happens.
Yeah. Good Lord, at least get that.
But, you know, I'm good with it because, you know, it's going to happen and you might as well get your head right with the stuff that you know is going to happen in life. I'm hoping
true.
It doesn't happen
that's a good point.
Hoping it doesn't happen for a couple of years.
Right. And that I think would be an expected kind of response to that. But to run around pretending like it's not ever going to happen, that's crazy. And you're wasting up a lot of energy. It's kind of like the rule sheet, right? You're running around all day trying to get a room full of toddlers to not ever bite. You know, you're wasting your own time.
Yeah.
Biting is going to happen. It's how you're responding to it, how you're dealing with it, how you're prepared for it. Those are the only things in those situations that you have any control over.
Yeah.
You don't have a control over the thing. You have a control of how you respond.
To it. So, what should we do to wrap this up? We got any parting wisdom,
parting
wrap up?
Thoughts. That was part of probably an interesting choice of words. And today's episode, I'm thinking of the Harry Potter scene when the guy says the goodbye to the big spider. He was a good spider.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm sure some listeners are finding it hilarious.
Appreciating the Harry Potter
reference.
I think probably just wrapping it up. I think sometimes, not even sometimes, what I have noticed the last probably dozen or so episodes that we record, Jeff, they're specific offshoots of the same kind of theme. Does that make sense to you? I mean, we probably have five or six core nugget themes that we end up talking about that end up being laced throughout every specific like detour that we take, you know, like the death detour or the, you know, the rolling with it detour. Both of those still come back to, you know, you got to know what you can or cannot control. You got to know how you're responding to that. You got to know how you're using your own energy, you know, so you've got this, you know, the things that we might be specifically talking about every week when we record still are continuously looping back to the same five or six core nuggets.
Yeah.
And
so that means we need to expand our repertoire
our
a little
nuggets.
Bit. We got to get more nuggets.
Or either that, or you kind of lock and load on that and say, you know, we've been recording now for, you know, what, 2 years, you know, and actually, yeah, two years,
longer,
three, two,
four.
And what, to circle back back and actually do a little research and say, you know, are there five things that are really the core themes throughout all these, you know, thousands of episodes that we've recorded? And if there is, then maybe that's something that needs to be unpacked. Maybe that's something that tells us, you know, hey, we love all y'all that are in it, and these are some of the things that are really coming to the surface as stuff you really kind of need to know about if you're going to be in this profession. I don't know. I see it actually as a strength.
Yeah.
You know, not that you're limiting yourself to only talking about four or five things, but wow, maybe we've kind of happened upon, you know, the essence of what you kind of have to be willing to kick around if you're going to be in this profession. I don't know. I'm just sitting here in the lobby in my jammies. Don't listen to me. I'm talking out loud.
I'm glad we only get on to the topic of death every 100 episodes or so, because I can't handle emotions too frequently. But, you know, it's all that. It's being mindful of who you are and where you are. When it comes to this topic with the kids, we got to use real language. We can't say grandpa's sleeping, grandpa's dead. We can't say the dog's going to camp. The dog is being put down. Use the real language. Talk to them at a level they can understand. And, you know, just pay attention to being in the moment of those situations.
And don't be afraid to show your own emotions.
Yeah.
If that means you got to talk to somebody else about, like, almost like a practice, like a little rehearsal. You know, like, don't overthink it. But, you know, maybe you need to bounce out with somebody what you're going to say before you sit down with the kids, and realizing that that's okay. It's okay for the kids to see you cry. It's okay for the kids it's okay for you to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know is better than presenting that they're sleeping when, you know, they're not going to wake up again. And now you wonder why your kids aren't going to bed at night.
Yeah.
When you say, hey, it's time to go to sleep. Well, I don't want to go to sleep. You're never
going
to sleep again.
Yeah.
You know, they are that literal. So you have to be very mindful of the language that you're using. So.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode, and we'll pick a topic that isn't sad. Hey, Hershey, you are the best puppy ever. If the universe doesn't work, if the universe doesn't work the way I think it does, and you happen to be listening to this episode, Hershey, you're a damn good dog. thanks for listening.
That's having a hard time sleeping. Off your feet,
bye-bye.
Feeling blah, blasé, down. Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
Hey, we're starting a revolution. A play revolution. A playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Thanks for listening to the Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.